You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
First of all, you guys put on a good show, and I think that goes without saying.
I love your show. I listen all the time.
You have a pretty fun show. I listen to it most of the time, you know. Keep up the good work.
No, it's disgusting. It's a ploy.
God, I love you. Get the hell off the stage.
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcast. Really good.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Well, thank you. Thank you. John and Gordy in the morning, and of course, Catherine Lake is in for Gordy this morning, and it's great to have her side of the story, her opinions, her strong positions that she has taken on the show this morning.
Are you laughing, Dominic?
I'm trying not to. It's, right. Some of the things that comes out of his mouth
anymore.
Here.
I don't know where I'm going with any of this stuff.
Can I just say one thing? It's 7:06.
Oh, good.
It's 43 degrees.
This keeps Gordy happy.
Our phone number is 608-879-8255. Mm-hmm. 879-TALK, yep. Dominic.
I got it. I know.
Totally
I just
took
completely
me down the
lied.
Primrose path.
I know.
Whatever that phone number was. I hope people start calling it. I hope it's your phone number at home.
Please, no.
No, I have one thing that's serious to talk about. Yep. You remember, of course, December's Abundant Life shooting, and there is still one child in the hospital, if you can believe it. Mm. He was shot multiple times. His name is Samuel Garduño Martinez. Mm-hmm. Garduño Martinez, and he was shot multiple times. He's still at American Family Children's Hospital. They have a GoFundMe going. So look for that if you could. Sammy, S-A-M-Y, Garduño Martinez here in Madison, still in hospital and looking for a little help with a GoFundMe.
That's right.
With the hospital bills, yeah.
All right. And, you know, there's a lot of talk and a lot of praise for the administration negotiating a deal with Hamas and Israel, helping that negotiation along. And there is a peace deal, a release of prisoners, all of that. But I got to tell you, I don't know, it infuriates me. I mean, we have let this go on for so damn long.
2 years, right? Three?
It's just out. Gaza is flattened.
Yeah.
People are starving to death. They're being shot for trying to get food. And we're sitting here celebrating this, something that took way too long to happen.
Yeah.
And it was a number of people who were involved. It's their fault. And it took too long. And it's frustrating for me to watch this celebration, even though, it is a great time to celebrate that. It's frustrating because it took so long and so many people. And they're still suffering. It's just beside the point. You know, I have these discussions with my kids at home all the time. You know, they're Gen Zers, and they're just, besides themselves. They really can't understand the political process that's involved in this. The history of trying to negotiate and trying to do something with Israel, the money that we give them, maybe putting strings on it. They don't understand why we don't put strings on that. But
it's key that you're saying that they don't understand because they're so young. They're so young, they haven't seen even the number of years that you have watching this come and go.
But I like that. I like they have a fresh look at this and they're driven. And I like that energy. Yeah. That's fantastic. What energy they have. I'm just looking at a really dumb. There is a right wing poster on X, Rapid Response 47. And they posted a video of one of the people at this big meeting yesterday about taking down the left wing network that none of us have ever heard of. You know, isn't it strange?
Didn't you get the memo?
I never got
handshake?
It. No, and I asked Matt yesterday. He didn't get
he
it either.
He didn't have the handshake either?
We're not aware of a left-wing network.
I would join it, maybe. I'd like to be asked.
All of a sudden, and I asked my MAGA friend this yesterday. I said, isn't it strange after 8 months, suddenly we have this left-wing network that suddenly there are networks of Antifa all over the country? How is that 8 months?
They've
that's
been very
all it took.
Quiet.
Where were they during the Biden administration? Where were they during Obama and the first term? for Trump. I don't understand it. All of a sudden, it's there. And for some reason, the MAGAs accept the fact that this all happened in just 8 months. These networks and this threat on the U.S. and everything. It's not real. This isn't real, folks. It's made up. That's why it hasn't been here before. None of us have heard of a left-wing network ever, and I'm just frustrated
by that. Okay, take a breath.
That.
Take a breath.
Okay.
Take a breath.
I have kind of a sad story, and I hope I don't break down while I'm reading this.
No.
Because I did when I first read this. I did.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, I'm against all, you know, what's going on in this country because I'm very concerned with my sons, you know. Mm-hmm. And I get concerned about a lot of little things, big things, too, during COVID. When a lot of people were dying because they were taking the advice of the Trump administration and all the megas at that point wanted to take ivermectin, all of this stuff. And we lost all of these baby boomers who were believing all of this stuff. And I thought all of the baby boomers who went through all of these times in the 60s and 70s, the great resurgence of rock and roll, they gave up their lives for this orange person. We're missing so much history with their loss, you know, and that's one of the things. And then this story cropped up yesterday for me. The Hollywood Bowl in Los Angeles glowed with emotion last night when Mickey Dolenz, the legendary voice of the Monkees, stopped his concert mid-performance to invite a young fan, 10-year-old Daniel Carter, onto the stage.
Okay. I'm already a little misty.
Daniel held up a simple cardboard sign.
Oh, no.
His hands trembling with the words, "My brother is no longer here, but your music makes me
makes me
feel he's still with me."
Oh. Did he get taken by ice?
Yeah. Oh. Dolenz immediately paused, walked him up on the stage. And the audience erupted with applause as Daniel, tears streaming down his face, climbed the steps to the stage. Mickey embraced him gently, then led him to the microphone. With a signature warmth, Dolenz began strumming an acoustic guitar and softly sang "Daydream Believer." Okay. Anyway.
That is amazing.
That's one of those great stories.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. You can't top that. Can't top that.
Yeah. And by the end of the song, Mickey wrapped his arms around Daniel and whispered, "He's with you, and tonight he's with all of us, too."
Oh.
So.
That's lovely. That's lovely. Yeah, that's going on around the world.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
That's happening.
But we miss these people.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
All these people that we lost during COVID, they had so many stories to tell, so much history to pass along to their kids. And be there for those people at this Monkees concert.
Monkees concert.
The whole thing, you know. I know. Who would have guessed, right?
I thought Mickey Dolenz had it in him to be so on the nose.
Wow.
Yeah.
Boy, that's just one of those times.
John Peterson, Catherine Lake is in for Gordy Young right now. Hi, 608-879-TALK, 8255, if you'd like to join in. You've got some stuff going on. You've got some anger you want to get out.
I do.
You want to do it now?
I've been doing it all morning, actually. I could get to the ball of flaming cheese, but...
that was from last hour.
I know.
If you missed that, sorry.
Well, I didn't get to that. So there's so many stories. Now you're witnessing how many stories I never get to on
you're
the
seeing
show.
It live right here.
I'm also witnessing how it's hard to get elements in. I sympathize with you, Gordy.
I know.
I really do.
Well, anyway, Congressman Representative Tom Tiffany, and I've been calling him something like...
I know, you were looking for it there. Just for
Mini Trump Tiffany. Mini Trump Tiffany. It doesn't exactly roll off the tongue, but it's close.
You're not good at name calling. You need to be meaner.
I can't do that, but Mini Trump Tiffany is what I like to call him now. He is out there running for governor, and he is pathetic. He is just one of the worst representatives we ever had in Congress. He was terrible in the state legislature.
What makes you say that?
He destroyed the environment in this state. He allowed sand mining pits to be put in near grade schools.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
And all the silica is in the air, and they're inhaling this. Yeah. It's very unhealthy. He made sure that little towns couldn't be reimbursed for all the road construction after these giant trucks are in and out all day long, wearing their roads out.
Doing the mining. Holy smokes.
They didn't have to pay for road construction and repair. So he is really just a horrible person.
And now he wants to be governor.
And I'm going to prove it.
Yeah.
It's American values, making it clear he will not stand for straight boys in girls' bathrooms. I am telling you, this has hit his damn platform.
That's
he's running
platform.
For governor.
Yeah.
This is something we've been just dying to do here. Let's listen to Cut 87, okay? This is just outrageous.
Sir, there are other types of sanctuaries as well. Restrooms for women and girls, locker rooms for women and girls should be safe spaces for them. But I read an awful story about a young gal who's an athlete in Wisconsin, and she and her PE class, her female PE class, were forced to stand there while a young male student just ogled them. I mean, this kid was definitely not any type of gender questioning or transitioning or anything like that. He was just a boy, a young boy. And I thought of you because I know you're a girl dad. And I'm wondering if this is an issue in Wisconsin to the degree that it is, because I hear about it all around the Beltway. I hear about it in Virginia, obviously, that horrific case in Loudoun County. Is that an issue for midterms in Wisconsin still?
No.
It is. It was in the November election, and we have a governor that stands with boys being able to go in girls' bathrooms.
No.
By the way, the Democrats are going to have a knockdown, drag-out primary. It'll be really interesting to see where all them stand as they race to the left. But I can make just one thing clear.
Okay.
If I'm elected as the governor of the state of Wisconsin, girls will be going in girls' bathrooms, not boys.
Oh,
that's
great.
Pretty clear. Yep. Pretty simple.
Pretty simple.
As it always is with you, sir, you always have such great principles and always stick to them. It's great to have you on today, Congressman. Thanks for joining us.
Always keep it nice and simple.
Yeah, real simple. Okay, now Tiffany is not aware, of course, that the gerrymandered Republicans in the legislature have been in control for the last 14 years. But let's listen to this. This is Cut 88 now. Tom Tiffany.
But under Democrat leadership in Madison, that dream is slipping away.
What?
Farms are disappearing, factories are shutting down, and our children's educational results have fallen behind Mississippi. Behind Mississippi. I'm Tom Tiffany, and I'm running for governor because I love our state. I see where we are headed, and I know we can do better. You know we can do better. I will freeze property taxes, protect our farmland from communist China, and I'll preserve our Wisconsin values, just like my mom does with her pickles.
Oh,
girl sports will stay for girls. Moms will be moms, not inseminated persons. Madison politics may smell like the barn, but I know how to clean up the bowl.
Okay.
For too long, Democrats have
that's
torn
enough.
Down.
Enough of that. You know, he's blaming the Democrats for all of this. The Republicans have been in charge for the last 14 years, Tom. You were in the legislature for some of that time. This is ridiculous. If we're in that bad a shape, blame the Republicans for it. And we want to put you, a Republican, in charge of the entire state. I think
you've made your case.
I'm just completely beside myself. I can't understand why he is doing this. If there's a voter out there right now that has heard any of this and thought, wow, I got to vote for that guy, I don't know what you're thinking.
608-879-TALK. Let us know. John Peterson, take your medicine now. Back in a minute.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I did my best. It wasn't much. I couldn't feel, so I tried to touch. I've told the truth. I didn't come to fool you. And even though it all went wrong, I'll stand before the Lord of Song with nothing on my
WMDX 92.7. It's John and Gordy. Catherine Lake filling in for Gordy today. And, you know, I want to protect everybody out there from going through what we did in the 60s and 70s. And I'm just truly concerned about our youth today. My sons, of course, Gen Z, and everyone out there. I don't want to see anybody hurt or go through this. And we're being forced into it by a madman, a complete madman. The man is paranoid as hell. He thinks all these things are going on.
Yeah.
And this woman who was at their little round table the other day, said this: I want to focus on what is happening in Portland at the ICE facility. I've been covering this for the past 4 months. This is nothing short of a sustained attack on the United States. That's the kind of stuff he's hearing.
Wow.
That's what he thinks is going on from these crazy people. This is the president of the United States relying on hearsay.
Yeah.
And it's just driving me absolutely crazy. And I'm just concerned. I want people to be safe. I don't want them to be hurt in these protests. And that's...
Well, thank goodness so far here we have had nothing but nice, quiet, peaceful protest. And somebody did text in earlier reminding us that the No Kings protest is coming up. And we're having one here in Madison. There's going to be in Milwaukee and, of course, in Chicago on October 18th. No Kings 2.0, they're calling it. Also, I just got to update something I said earlier, if you don't mind, John.
Sure, no, go ahead.
The final victim of December's Abundant Life shooting, who I said is still in hospital, is no longer in hospital.
Oh, good.
I got this from Rob Thomas at the Cap Times. And so the good news is that yesterday afternoon, he was released. But the GoFundMe is still in place. I looked it up, and they are very nearly at their goal. They have a goal of 170,000, and they're 154. So if you look up GoFundMe with Garduno's family, that's spelled G-A-R-D-U-N-O, and Sammy, spelled S-A-M-Y, Sammy Garduno, hyphen Martinez. So if you're interested and able to help support for their hospital bills, that would be terrific.
Very definitely, and it's sad that we have to do something like this instead of having universal health care.
Yeah. No.
Right? I mean, we put people through hell in this country.
We do.
I want to get to one more cut from Tom Tiffany. Mm. All right. This is cut 89. And it's this reckless spending by the governor. Let's listen.
You want to make Wisconsin a shining star in America again. What are your plans?
Wisconsin's a great state with wonderful people, but we're lacking leadership at this point. You look at our state, the next governor is going to be left with a $2 billion structural deficit. Our energy costs are now the second highest in the Midwest, used to be among the lowest. We are now ranked, Maria, in the bottom 10 states in America in order to start a business. So it's clear that Wisconsin is headed in the wrong direction. We just need real leadership to make that happen.
Point of order.
Tom, first of all, the governor signs off on the budget sent to him by the Republicans. If we have a debt, it's because of the Republicans. And I think that maybe the Republicans are at fault for everything else that you are so unhappy with. They're the ones in charge, damn it.
Damn it.
What the hell? Why is he? What kind of campaign is he running? He's running the state down, and he's running down the Republicans while he's doing it.
Well, he's not saying that, though.
He's throwing them under the bus.
He doesn't say it that way.
I know, but he's blaming Democrats for everything the Republicans are responsible for.
Yes, that he is doing.
Okay, why don't we go to the phone lines? We've got CJ on the line. What do you got, CJ?
Good morning to you both.
Hey.
You know, I couldn't wait. I came in late on the Mickey Dolan story.
Yeah. Oh, you did.
And I was excited to hear about, you know, the peace plan.
Yes.
The president that you criticize every day is solving another war. As your president, we're finding out just how corrupt he was, spying on senators and, you know, causing wars. He watched the war. We watched Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And you're worried about this guy after he solved wars, seven of them, going on eight.
No, he didn't.
Bringing hostages home. And
yes,
you
they waited quite a long time, and I'm sure that there's some kind of deal about Gaza in there.
Like a true liberal.
Yeah.
What? Like a true liberal.
Mm-hmm. What? I mean, that I'm not happy? I got it.
Yeah, because your sanctuary cities and your president let in 20 million, and they're hiding them in the cities mm-hmm. with criminals.
We had no idea that was happening either.
About that.
Okay.
Well, he's solving it.
I know. You're taking people who have never committed a crime in this city or any of these cities, who have businesses, established businesses for 20 to 30 years, and they're taking them out of the country. They're taking people who don't deserve this, who have played by the rules, who have visas, who have been going to their court cases in order to, you know, re-up, do whatever they need to do to stay in this country. And we're taking them and we're throwing them out. That isn't what this country is all about. It never has been.
Not just throwing them out, locking them up, breaking up families.
That's
all
right.
Kinds of good stuff.
Yeah.
John Peterson, go take your medicine.
I understand. Yeah,
no?
I know we've got Jim Santel coming up in just a few moments. We're going to talk law and what's going on in this country, in the courts, and what's going to happen in Chicago.
Solve it.
This is the theme to Murder One.
Oh!
It's a great law TV show.
Is it on now?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Long time ago.
Of course.
The bald guy.
All right.
He used to be, they knew him as the bald guy. They had a whole bunch of bits on Saturday Night Live taken off on him. But anyway, this is John and Gordy in the morning. Catherine Lake filling in for Gordy. We've got Dom taking the phone calls and at the controls. And right now is time once again for Jim Santel, Amicus, a Law Review. You can hear that on Saturdays between 9 and 11 o'clock. And Jim, this is the most ridiculous, crazy time I have ever seen when it comes to law. We've got a president who does nothing but go to court.
And Jim is a former U.S. attorney, so you have a really intimate knowledge of how this is not normal times.
Yes.
This is not normal. But, John, Catherine, good to be with you again this morning, as always on Thursdays. I begin so many of my discussions, both public and private, by saying it's a lot. And that's my way of saying, you know what?
You're not crazy.
I don't know that any one person, you're not crazy, right? Exactly. You cannot possibly digest all this, keep it all straight. And the events, obviously, as I was planning to join you this morning, just going on, just to make certain something else hadn't happened in the last 12 minutes.
I know. I know.
Overtakes, right?
It's crazy, isn't it?
That's the issue.
Yeah, I know.
It is. It's a lot. That's my new catchphrase. That's my bumper sticker now. It's a lot.
Well, and how do you discern between it's a lot of dog whistles versus it's a lot of, oh, this is serious. Pay attention to this one.
Right.
This is the one they're trying to swing by you.
Exactly. And you in your previous segment, obviously, with someone who wants to be our next governor, there are an awful lot of dog whistles there about issues that are not significant. They're not animating America or Wisconsin or municipalities around our state. And then there are things that are hugely important. And when they're all put in the same plane and thrown together in the same bucket, right? And we talk about them as if one is just like the other. Catherine, that's exactly the problem with understanding all this today, and it takes a lot of work, right, to get through it. It takes wonderful broadcasts like this one, just sort it all out.
Of course.
And to make certain that people know what's going on.
Well, that's what we're trying to do here, and we're all trying to figure out what's going to happen in Chicago with the invasion of the National Guard from Texas trying to get in, and of course, you know, J.B. Pritzker trying to save his state from this invasion, and the mayor, of course, Brendan, I can't remember his last name, Brendan Johnson. Also, you know, making his voice known that, you know, they're not going to put up with this either. Now, what's happening? This is going to court today, right?
It is. It is, right? This is, and again, I think it's important, John, Catherine, that the people know about the names of the judges, not because you're going to be doing anything retaliatory or in any direction, but just, you know, that the great majority of them are the guardrails out there, and they are doing things to keep us safe and secure. We'll see what April Perry does. That's the name of the district court judge, P-E-R-R-Y. She is going to be having a hearing. She initially entertained this matter about the propriety of the president's using the National Guard in response to protests and immigration issues there in Chicago. Early in the week, she said, you know what, I'm not going to decide today. Schedule this on. We'll do this on Thursday. And so big news today. We're coming out of the Dirksen building there in downtown Chicago. What she does, my guess is she will issue an order fairly quickly and then probably follow up with something in writing, which we can all digest. But this is big. And it also comes, of course, in the wake of a parallel, not a universe, very much the same universe in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
And there you've got another federal district judge, right? Her name is Karen Immergut, I-M-M-E-R-G-U-T. We should know again about the judges who are doing the work to protect the Constitution and our basic liberties and rights in America. And what she said was, back on Saturday, again, judges work 24 hours a day, as do all of you at Civic Media as well,
yes,
right?
Yes.
The reality is that she comes forward and she says, you know what, you can't be doing this. It's an overreach. It is not consistent with any of the attempted authorities that the president is attempting to invoke here. And what happens, fascinating, it shows what this administration is all about. She says, so, okay, so no, nobody from the Portland, nobody from the Oregon National Guard can be doing this in Portland. Somebody in the White House on Sunday morning, I assume, Sunday afternoon, says, well, she didn't use those magic words. What about National Guard from other states, like, for example, California and Texas?
Oh.
I think that's got Stephen Miller written all over it. Doesn't that sound like something you would do? And she finds out about it. Of course, she went back into court Sunday night. This past Sunday night, she has a telephone call, a hearing, formal hearing Sunday night. And she says, you must be joking. And she basically says, you plainly are misinterpreting the intent of my
words.
Order from 12 hours ago, saying you can't come into Portland with the National Guard. And she then issues a directive saying there is no National Guard from any state, any universe, any galaxy out there that can come in and invade here in Portland. And she bemoans the fact that the Department of Justice lawyers are playing this kind of semantic game with her. And we'll see what they do in Chicago today. A lot of eyes and ears on that, as you say, as Texas and others have got their National Guard ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there a reason why they were allowed to come up there? The judge allowed this to happen, right? Initially.
Right.
And this is the same judge that's taking the case today?
Yes. What she said was, again, here's the other problem, apropos of our discussion before about this happening so quickly. She gets presented with this, of course, and she says, well, what are the facts? I need to have some facts here. And she does postpone this a bit, a couple of days here, basically from Monday to today. And she says, lawyers, write your briefs, which presumably they filed by 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock last night. And what she says in the meantime is, I'm not going to prevent you from doing anything, although it would be wise, government, wise, if you don't do anything before Thursday. Basically saying, I'm not officially telling you you're enjoying from bringing the Texas folks in, but let's be decent about this. And again, my guess is there will be some fireworks about this today in the federal court, maybe on that issue, but also just generally on this notion that somehow there is a rebellion afoot mm-hmm. in Chicago yeah. and there is insurrection afoot in Chicago and we need to do this. That's the larger issue. And judges can and do make findings. Judge Emmergut made that finding. She said, this, look at Portland. Our crime statistics are down. You walk around the city. They're just, this is not going on, Mr. President. And judges can, in fact, make factual findings based upon the real life on the ground facts and then make determinations under the law, which is what Judge Emmergut did, presumably what the judge now in Chicago will do sometime today.
Well, you know, the thing that scares the daylights out of me is that we have two National Guards. We've got a Chicago or Illinois National Guard, right. and then we've got the Texas National Guard, and they're going to clash. And I asked you off the air, now, if you could just clarify on the air about what can happen here. Can the governor of Illinois demand that the National Guard of Illinois prevent the Texas National Guard from entering the city? Is that a possibility? And will that be some kind of civil war?
Right. The great questions of our time. Remember that time, say about 10 months ago when we didn't have to ask these kinds of questions because we could not possibly envision
different life.
That our federal government would put this in place, right? Mm. And so it's not just a rhetorical question. J.B. Pritzker, obviously, as you have reported and talked about at great length, he is not going to take this. And he, like Gavin Newsom and others around the country, saying, no, Mr. President, you cannot do this. You do not have the lawful authority. Judges are supporting that notion that you don't have the lawful authority. The concern and the reason why you're forced to ask that all-important, horrific question, right? Not just rhetorical on a Thursday morning, is that we don't know if this White House and their track record is not to follow what federal judges say. We've got the Attorney General. We've got people like Tom Homan, who has his own problems these days. We've got the President of the United States of America saying, judges, who are they? They don't have power, right?
Right.
And under those circumstances, the specter that you raised, John, about things happening on Michigan Avenue and in Kedzie and south side of Chicago, where I went to school many years ago in Hyde Park. We don't know. We just don't know. And when one authority comes up against another, both legitimate, but one right and one plainly, unmistakably not proceeding on the facts, that's America in 2025.
And this could be the plan, you know, to start something major in this country, right? The Insurrection Act.
Possible. Right. B, it's also possible, and I read this something yesterday, credible news source saying that it seems like the tide of judges making erroneous or not helpful, not correct decisions, it's starting to flow back. We're starting to see enough pushback in that arena, judicial. Right. Am I crazy?
Right. No, I think you're absolutely right. Oh, and goodness. I have to wonder if John Roberts, again, among other five members of the Supreme Court, who basically permitted this president to do all sorts of things as he looks out his window there in Washington, D.C., I wonder if he is a part of that, maybe we have let this go too far.
Right.
As he starts the new term where things like tariffs are on the docket, other major issues related to the power of the presidency. Let's not forget, he put this in motion. John Roberts, the history when it's written, he was the one who on July 1st said we need a powerful, muscular, adept, speedy, non-feeble presidency. And Donald Trump, although he probably did not even read the opinion from a year ago, has done just that. And who gave him permission to do it? It's the United States Supreme Court and this Chief Justice. You wonder if one day he wakes up and says, gee, my legacy. He's a great believer in the supremacy, the power of the presidency. But you wonder if, Catherine, as you just said, if somehow he's beginning to think, I've unleashed something. This is too much.
Yeah, I think there's even talk of doing away with the judiciary completely on the right.
And right. And Donald Trump, plainly, he's got this Supreme Court where, you know, you do have the lower federal district court judges and everything from these issues we're talking about, something as important as firing a Federal Trade Commissioner, which commissioner, that, I'm just saying that twice in a row here. It's the Federal Trade Commission Commissioner.
Gotcha.
And her name is Slaughter. And, you know, she's in front of the Supreme Court now because the lower court said, no, you've got no power to do this. It's very clear. And you don't, just don't have the authority to do this, Mr. President. Supreme Court is taking that up. And why do you take that up? Because what you're going to overturn the lower court's very well-written opinions based upon the Constitution, the law. That's coming out of our Supreme Court probably in the next few months or so.
All right.
These kinds of things. And it is, again, we yearn for the days of less acrimony and this kind of disruption.
Talking with Jim Santel, you recognize that voice from Amicus, a law review, Saturdays at 11. Saturdays at 9, sorry, to 11. You got to hear that. John Peterson?
That's right, and we've got more. We'll talk about what's coming up on the docket for the Supreme Court.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
John and Gordy in the morning. Catherine Lake filling in for Gordy, and we've got... We've got Dom taking the phone call this morning as well, and of course our guest, Jim Santel.
But before we get there, you have to let me do Gordy's job. We have to do the weather and the time.
It's solid show here.
7:52 in the morning. Yes. It's 45 degrees currently. It's going to be beautiful. The whole week, we're not going to see rain probably again until next week, midweek. But 60s and 70s all week, just perfect fall weather. Thank you for letting me.
See, yeah, but no one cares when you listen to a podcast. You know, when they're podcasting.
You're right. It doesn't matter. Right.
So anyway.
I just want to know, Jim Santel, who does Amicus, a law review on Saturday mornings at 9, how do you choose what you're going to talk about on Saturday morning when you have been flooded Monday through Friday?
Absolutely. So I know this is radio, but for those who are watching on StreamYard, here is my, from this week, here is the stack of news items. And yes, I know I'm destroying trees here as well.
For perspective, it's a ream.
But it reams and reams of paper, and that's through Wednesday, regrettably, right? And it really is, Catherine, as you said, there is just so much. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, things end up on the cutting room floor, as they do for any broadcast, right? You've got to make determinations about what you can address and what you can't. And hopefully you'll get some breather at some point. We don't seem to be having a lot of that these days. But it is, once again, it is a lot. And it is a challenge. And to your listeners who sometimes, whether listening to me, you, others, think, my gosh, how can I possibly keep this straight? We get that. We understand it. Yeah. Virtually nobody, whether you're a lawyer or a judge, nobody can keep track of all of this, the timing of it, and also the ferocity of the issues themselves. They're hugely important.
Well, and complicated.
Yeah, we've got a caller. Let's talk to Charles. Charles from Milwaukee.
Hey, Charles. Good morning, guys. I am always amazed when conservatives call into the show and complain about the immigrants that are just coming to America to try to live a better life and saying how they're criminals when the biggest criminal in the world, pardon, 1,500 criminals, and I'm sure a good portion of those criminals that he pardoned are out here running roughshod and getting their jollies off of rounding up families.
Wearing masks.
People that are wearing masks that are just here trying to make a living for them.
Or have been making a living for 20 to 30 years. Yes.
Yeah, Charles.
And then they're rounding up mothers and fathers and not caring anything about, well, what about the kids that are at school? What's going to happen when they come home and there's no mom and there's no dad there?
It's unfathomable.
But it is even worse than that is just, you know, stopping traffic. They stopped a woman in a truck that had a symbol, I think the flag of Mexico on it, and they stopped it. They surrounded her truck, dragged her out. She's a, you know, American citizen, didn't ask, and just said, we don't need a warrant. You know, you hear the same comments over and over in these videos. We don't need a warrant. And, you know, these people are asking for it. So it's just, this is happening to American citizens all the time. And that's wrong, and no one's stopping it. And I called on this a long time ago. Take the masks off. Make these people at least accountable for what they're doing out there. And they're unaccountable right now, and they can do anything they want. Now, let's get back to Jim Santel and what's going on in the Supreme Court.
Good luck, Jim.
Let's get on topic
Speaking
again.
Speaking of fire hoses.
I appreciate hoses. That, Charles. Thank you.
And Catherine, the weather was the last happy thing we talked about in this segment, and so we're glad
Keeping
we got
track.
That out there for our listeners, right? It's going to be a pleasant fall weekend, and now Jim Santel is going to tell you about some not happy things. Supreme Court back in business again. Mm-hmm. Never went out of business, as you know well, but their official new term started on Monday. They already argued six different cases, including one just yesterday coming out of Chicago. Again, not the issues related to demonstrations and immigration issues. But this one has to do with what is Election Day? And there, in an attempt to try to capture all the votes, Illinois has a law that basically says if you've got absentee ballots that come in, they're postmarked in time, but you don't count them right away. You can still count them 14 days after the election. We want all those votes to count. Gosh, there's a novel idea, right? And so some folks come along, we know who they are, and they file a lawsuit saying, no, that's in violation of the federal statute and the elections clause of the Constitution. Election Day is the only day on which you can count those votes. You don't do it, those votes don't count. And yesterday, the Supreme Court entertaining that argument. We'll find out about that in June. The other big one in the area of just basic understandings about our Constitution, this one's got me very concerned. It's going to be argued next Wednesday. So again, listeners can listen in on this. This is Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S. You may recall this. We talked about this on this show a while back. This was the Supreme Court case where they drop-kicked it from the previous term. This was the question of line drawing in Louisiana. And much like we've had here in Wisconsin, and is it constitutional to create a couple of majority black districts? And there's an allegation that the Voting Rights Act in Section 2, which is the key portion of the Voting Rights Act since the 1960s, may be unconstitutional because it's in violation of the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. It's a crazy, absolutely absurd proposition, but the Supreme Court's going to entertain that argument next Wednesday. And again, those are just two of the cases. They did, by the way, again, to rain on the good and happy fall weather report, they did entertain this argument also in another case just earlier this week on conversion therapy coming out of Colorado. And the question is whether or not a therapist there who maintains that the ban on conversion therapy, 20 different states, including variation here in Wisconsin, whether that inhibits her ability to exercise her religious liberties and her free speech rights by virtue of engagement with her clients. And that's on the docket now.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll
Jim.
See what the Supreme Court says.
Good luck with that on Saturday with Amicus Law Review. That's a lot to do.
Yeah.
Thanks, John. This was fun. I'm never doing it again.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed yourself today. It's such a downer day for me. You know, I'm going through all this stuff and so many things are happening. It is truly a fire hose of misinformation.
All right. Gordy's back tomorrow.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, John.
And thank you, Jim, for joining us.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.